Last Sunday night, I preached a sermon, three words that'll change a church. Those three words were suffer, persuade, and compel. And it was a message to Christians about our responsibility to go after little children and bring them to Jesus and persuade people to come to the Savior, compel them to come to His house. And one of our men, as they were going out, said, "Preacher, I just have one bone to pick with you about your sermon tonight." I said, "What's that?" He said, "You should have preached it on Sunday morning. Should have preached it on Sunday morning." And I told him, I said, "Well, I can't preach all my messages on Sunday morning. You know, I got to have something to preach on Sunday night. But tonight, this morning, I'm preaching a Sunday night sermon." Okay? Usually when I preach on Sunday morning, I just have 3 points. Sometimes on Sunday night, I have a lot more points than I do on Sunday morning. Well, I have 7 points this morning. And I can hear all the groans. "Oh, I got the roast in the oven. The Methodists are going to beat us to big boy. Oh, we're in trouble." I guarantee you we'll get out about the same time. But this is a message. You know, I always try to preach in some form or another a salvation message on Sunday morning. And this is a salvation message. But this is also a message to Christians. In fact, I'm going to preach this morning the title of my sermon, "The Love of Christ for Lost Sinners." The love of Christ for lost sinners. I'm going to give you 7 points, or 7 different things, and they all make the same point, that Jesus loves sinners. And Debbie, that was a perfect song to sing before this message, because He loved each of us when we were yet sinners. We read that verse from Romans chapter 5, verse 8. "But God commendeth," or proved, "His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." I've always thought about it this way. If I was the only sinner, if I was the only one that had broken God's law and the rest of you were perfect, if I was the only sinner, if I was the only one that fell short of God's glory, Jesus would have still come to Calvary and He would have died for me. Jesus would have still come and shed His blood for me. He loves sinners that much. And so I have these 7 points. They all make the 7 arguments, so to speak. They all make the same point. Jesus loves sinners. Now, if you're here today and you're not saved, as you hear these 7 points, I hope you will understand how much Jesus loves you and make the decision to trust Him. Most of us are Christians this morning, and so as you hear these 7 arguments, I hope you will once again realize how much Jesus loves sinners, and that you go out and try to win them to the Savior. So, Jesus' love for sinners. Here we go. Number one, it's seen in the purpose for which He came into the world. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man," talking about Himself, "is come to seek and to save that which was lost." He was in a tax collector's house. He was in Zacchaeus' house. And He was telling Zacchaeus and all those that were gathered around Him and all of us, as it's recorded in the book of Luke, why He came into this world. He came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't come to earth for honor. In heaven, He had all the honor that heaven afforded. The angels surrounded His throne. He wore the royal diadem. When He came to earth, He got just the opposite of honor. When He came, He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Isaiah 53, verse 3. So He didn't come to earth for honor. He didn't come to earth for wealth. When He sat in heaven, He owned the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. When He came, He got just the opposite. He was poor. He said one time, "Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head." Matthew 8:20. So He didn't come to earth for wealth. He didn't come to earth to get man's glory. In heaven, He got all the glory that He deserved. But when He came to this place, He got just the opposite. He was cursed. He was despised. He was rejected of men. And so He didn't come for honor. He didn't come for wealth. He didn't come for glory. He came for one purpose: to seek and to save you and I. To seek and to save that which was lost. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, the Bible says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, realize that the reason that He came is you. Realize the reason that He left the glory of heaven is you. Realize that He went to the cross for no other reason but to save you and to pay the price of your sin. And if lost sinners are more important than honor, if lost sinners are more important than wealth, if lost sinners are more important than glory, then don't you think that saved sinners, those that know Jesus as their Savior, ought to get busy telling lost sinners about the Savior? The more like Jesus we are, the more valuable souls are going to be to us. The more like Jesus we are, the more we will love a lost sinner. The more of the Holy Spirit we have, the more valuable lost souls will be to us. In Mark chapter 8, verse 36, the Bible says this, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" We see the love that Christ had for lost sinners by the purpose for which He entered this earth, by the purpose for which He became a virgin, was born of a woman, grew up, lived among us without sin, went to that Savior. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Number two, we see His love for lost sinners in His ever watching for the opportunity to tell somebody else about Himself. He saw Zacchaeus up a tree and stopped at that tree and said, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to go home with you." He saw blind Bartimaeus, by the way, heard him call out, stopped, healed him. He saw a woman at a well. Sit down, spend some time talking to her, and won her to Himself. There are hundreds of times mentioned in the Bible. Yes, Jesus went after the crowds, but Jesus was always on the lookout for people, for individuals that needed to come to Him, that for individuals that needed to hear the gospel. And we read hundreds of times in the pages of the Bible where He stopped what He was doing. He stopped teaching. He stopped preaching. He stopped His travels, and He told an individual about Himself. I wonder how many people we passed this week that needed Christ and we were too busy to notice. I wonder how many men and women and boys and girls who God sent across our path that were lost, that are on their way to hell, that needed the Savior, and we were too busy to notice that they even crossed our path. If we're going to be like Christ, every person that comes across our path, here's what we need to think. I wonder if they know Christ. I wonder if they're on their way to heaven or if they're on their way to hell. I wonder if anybody has ever stopped and told them how much Jesus loved them and what He did for them on Calvary. Every single person that crosses our path may be an appointment that God has set in our life for somebody to hear the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't be too busy to miss those appointments. Don't be too busy to miss those people that God sends across our path that need the Savior. Number three, His love for lost sinners is seen in not only watching out for them, but for going after them. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells a story. We talked about the stories. One of the stories He told in Sunday school this morning, the parable of the shepherd and the sheep. Well, in Luke chapter 15, He tells another story about a shepherd and a sheep. He says, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" Jesus was telling that story, that parable, to describe Himself. He was a good shepherd. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, a lost sheep. We talked about in Sunday school how sheep are dumb and how they need a shepherd to look after them. And He says, I've come looking for the lost. I've come looking for those that need to be saved. And if there's just one lost, I'm going to go out and look for it. I'm going to go out and look for it until I find it and bring it back to the fold. The thing I want you to notice is what that verse says, that the shepherd goes out and looks for it until he finds it. He doesn't quit after a day. He doesn't quit after a couple days. He doesn't quit if it starts to rain. He doesn't quit if the way grows hard. The good shepherd goes after that lost sheep, just one, until he finds it. Again, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, Jesus hasn't given up on you. He will go where you go. He will follow you where you go. He will put influences across the path of your life to try to point you to Him. And if you're a Christian this morning, I wonder how many times we've gotten so discouraged because somebody has rejected the Savior that we've quit and given up. The Good Shepherd says, I'm going to keep looking for Him until I find them. And if we know somebody that's lost, my message for the Christians here this morning is don't give up. Don't give up. I always remember Harold and Betty Heslop, Peggy's sister Betty, Helen's cousin Betty, and her husband Harold. Helen prayed for them. How long, Helen? 40 years? Almost 50 years. Prayed for them. 50 years. Witness to him, 50 years. Every chance she got, she put in a good word for Jesus Christ. How many times have we given up after 5 years, after 10 years, after 15 years? The good shepherd says, I'm going to go after you until I find you. Jesus is not going to give up until you reject him over and over and over and over again. You might as well just go ahead and say yes to him if you're not saved this morning. As we as Christians ought not to give up. We ought to go after him until we find them. Number four, his love for lost sinners is seen in the joy and the satisfaction that he had in seeing people saved. John chapter 4, verse 34, he said to his disciples, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. As Jesus sought lost souls, as he went after the lost, he forgot about being hungry. He forgot about needing rest. His friend said about him one time, he is beside himself. He was so passionate for souls that he skipped meals and he skipped rest and he slipped sleep. He had one purpose, to keep people out of hell. On this occasion in John chapter 4, he told the disciples, you go ahead, you go into town, you get something to eat. He stayed by the well. He talked to that woman by the well. He convicted her of her sin. He told her about a well that if she draw out of, she would never thirst again. And she said, oh, Lord, give me that water. Give me a drink from that well so I'll never thirst again. And Jesus won her to himself. We need Christians today that will think that souls are more important than sleep. Souls are more important than meals. Souls are more important than sleep. That they will weep over sinners because they have a burning desire in their heart for people to get saved. I dare say most of us were like that when we first got saved. When we first got saved, we wanted everybody else to get saved. We were so excited about what Jesus Christ did for us that every single person we came across, didn't matter if we knew them, we didn't worry about offending them, we didn't worry about hurting their feelings, we told them that they were sinners, that there was a hell that they faced, that Jesus was the only way to escape that hell, and we told them about Christ. We had an excitement because we were so wrapped up in the awe of Jesus saving us. But as we grow older as Christians, we've grown less sensitive. We've lost some of our zeal. We've taken our salvation for granted. One of the reasons I preach about salvation so much in this place is I don't want you to ever get over it. I don't want you to ever take your salvation for granted. You were a dirty, rotten, wicked sinner headed for hell. There was nothing about you that deserved God's love. But in that condition, God loved you and God loved me so much that he sent his son to die in my place. Amen. He sent his son to die in your place. I don't know about you. I don't want to ever forget that. I don't want to ever get over it. I don't want to ever take for granted that the Son of God took my place on Calvary's cross. I should have hung there. I should have paid the price for sin. I should have been crucified. but Jesus took my place.
Amen.
Don't get over it. Don't ever lose the awe of your salvation. Number five, his love for sinners is seen in the rejoicing that he did when they were saved. Going back to that parable of the shepherd going out and looking for the sheep, he says in Luke chapter 15, verses 5 and 6, "And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." I wish we'd get more excited when people get saved. I wish we'd get more excited when somebody comes to know Christ as their Savior. I wish we'd get more excited when we hear reports from Awana that a little boy or a little girl has bowed their head and admitted that they're a sinner and asked Jesus to save them. I want to tell you something. I want to remind you something. It's a big deal. It's something that we ought to rejoice over. It's something that we ought to jump up and down about and get excited about. The Bible says there's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repenteth than 99 just persons who need no repentance. In heaven, when somebody gets saved, they have a party.
Amen.
They rejoice. I mean, some people think there's only Baptists in heaven. I think when somebody gets saved, there's a lot of Pentecosts in heaven. And they jump, and they shout, and they rejoice. And I don't know about you, if that's what we're going to do in heaven, we sure ought to do it down here. I mean, when somebody gets saved, we ought to jump up. We ought to shout, praise God, glory to God. Somebody else has entered the kingdom of heaven. Somebody else has entered the kingdom of God. Jesus rejoiced when somebody got saved. We see his love for sinners when he rejoiced. Number six, we see his love for sinners in the grief that he displayed when somebody refused that salvation. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 27, we read that Jesus said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and ye would not." Jesus looked at that city, the city that God had sent prophet after prophet to, the city that he came into. There were multitudes of people in the city of Jerusalem that rejected Christ, that refused to see him for who he was, the Son of God that had come with the message of salvation. He stood on a hill looking at that city, and the Bible says that he wept. He wept because he saw the people in that city that had refused salvation. In just a second, I'm going to give an invitation. If it's like most Sundays, nobody will come to get saved. I think in heaven, Jesus will weep. He knows there's lost people probably here as much as I do. He knows there are people here this morning that are without Christ. He knows there are people here this morning on their way to hell. And when we give the invitation and nobody comes, I think up in heaven, Jesus will weep. He'll say, "I died for you. I went to Calvary's cross. I paid the price of sin that you owed. And yet, you've rejected it." I wonder how we will react. Sometimes I leave this place and I get in my car and I drive home and I weep. I know there was lost people in the congregation. I know they needed to hear the gospel. I know they needed to make a decision. And yet, they rejected Christ. They came to see his miracles. They came when he fed the crowds. They came to listen to his teaching. But the very reason that he came, the best gift that he had to offer them, they rejected. And he wept. He wept over those that refused salvation. And then, number seven, his love for lost sinners is seen in his willingness to lay down his life to save them. In Sunday school this morning, we're in our Sunday school lessons, we're talking about the I am statements that Jesus made, recorded in the book of John. We looked at two of them this morning. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. The greatest love the world has ever seen was displayed over 2,000 years ago on a little hill outside of the city of Jerusalem. Amen. A hill that we know as Calvary. The greatest love that the world has ever known is contained in that one verse in John chapter 3, where the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. How much did God love us? He loved us so much. So is one of the biggest words in the Bible. When God can't use other words to describe something, he uses the word so. Hebrews, how shall we escape if we neglect so great of salvation? How much does God love the world? So much that he gave his only Son to die in my place. I have one son. I sure would not sacrifice him for people that spit on him, despised him, hated him, ridiculed him. But that's exactly what Jesus did for us. His only son, he sent to a cross, not for good people, but for wicked sinners. He sent to a cross to pay their price. Let's go to that cross. Let's look at the one that's hanging there. In just a second, in just a week or so, we're going to celebrate his resurrection. But go to the cross this morning. Look at the nails that are driven through his hands and his feet. Look at the crown of thorns that he wore. Look at his body that is bleeding in various spots where they pulled out his beard, where they beat him with rods, where they beat him with the cat of nine tails. You can't help but look at the cross and the one who hangs there without knowing that God loves lost sinners. Amen. We read that verse. Greater love hath, we didn't read it, but that verse says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And when we were sinners, God proved his love for us when he sent his son to die in our place. So he loves lost sinners. So what should we do this morning? Well, if you're here and you're not saved, you ought to come to the cross. You ought to come to the one who paid the price of your sin. You're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. It's to be separated from God forever. Jesus paid that penalty. He paid your penalty. He did it just for you. If you were the only sinner in the whole world, only the sinner in all of history, Jesus would have still went to the cross and died in your place. How can you reject love like that? How can you refuse the gift that he offers to you, the gift of life, eternal life? If you're here and you're not saved, if I was you, I'd get saved this morning. I'd give myself to Jesus Christ. I'd wrap myself in his righteousness. I'd put my faith and trust in him to make me right with my God. If you're a Christian here this morning, here's what we need to do. We need to look at sinners like Jesus did. Every one of them is an eternal soul that one day is going to die and go to hell. We need to visualize what their life in hell is going to be like. It's an eternity. It's a bottomless pit, place of fire where the worm dieth not, apart from God. And then we need to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, use me. Use me. There's lost people that cross my path every day. Give me a heart for their soul. Give me a passion for their soul. Use me to tell them about Christ. Would you do that this morning? Again, this is more of a Sunday night sermon than it is a Sunday morning sermon, but the Sunday night crowd needs to hear the truth that sometimes you only hear on Sunday night. Would you come to Jesus this morning if you don't know him? And would you yield yourself to him to be used a vessel, an instrument to reach others? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that it imparts to us. Oh, how much you love us. How much you love us. When we just stop and think about that, sometimes we're overwhelmed. How much you love us. And I pray, Father, that that love wouldn't go unanswered this morning. I pray that every person here that's not put their faith in Jesus Christ would put aside every excuse they've used up to this point, and they trust Jesus for their salvation. They trust him for heaven. They trust him for everything that he offers. Life, eternal life, abundant life. And then, Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. Help us not to get over our salvation. Help us not to lose sight of what waits the lost sinner for eternity. An eternity apart from you. An eternity in hell. We have the answer. We have the cure. We need to point them to Christ. Help us to do that. Just bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient to what you say. I ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.